Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. 800,000. That's roughly how many young people would lose protection if DACA comes to an end. The Obama-era program defers deportation for those who entered the U.S. illegally as children, so-called dreamers, whose only memory of home for many is here. Today, the Trump administration is laying out its plans for DACA, rescinding DACA, says Department of Justice head Jeff Sessions, U.S. Attorney General. And we are looking ahead as they do. This hour on Point, the Trump administration, Congress, the Dreamers, and DACA. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you think should happen now to young people who were brought here illegally as children, the Dreamers? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Jeff Sessions at the podium this morning saying that DACA is being rescinded. That it was this executive order, says the Trump Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General, was unconstitutional. Looking at the implications of all this and what's brought us to this moment, joining me now from Washington is Glenn Thrush, New York Times White House correspondent. Glenn, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What's driven this move by the Trump administration? DACA being rescinded, says Jeff Sessions.
Politics is driving this decision. The president in 2016 ran on a platform that was very tough on immigration, and he appointed as his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, and appointed as his chief policy advisor, Stephen Miller, two of the most radical federal officials on the issues of legal in addition to illegal immigration. And they are essentially rolling back a law that has the support of, according to polls, two-thirds of the American public and roughly half or more than half of Republican voters.
So politics driving this, and yet President Trump has gone back and forth before this morning's announcement by Jeff Sessions. You know, we love Dreamers, we love everybody, the president's saying just in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the president's contradiction. You know, we are told by people around the president this is his most difficult decision that he has made as president, just personally. We know that very few people within the West Wing really support rolling this back. Basically, Stephen Miller, Jeff Sessions, and a couple of the folks outside who used to be on the inside, like Steve Bannon. The vast majority of folks, including his own family, and many, many members of Congress, including House Speaker Paul Ryan and many Republicans in the Senate, oppose this. So essentially what is going on is the president is delaying this for 6 months and rolling an unpinned hand grenade up to Capitol Hill.
What options? I mean, Jeff Sessions saying this is unconstitutional, that the executive branch deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch refused to authorize, that DACA denied jobs to Americans by allowing Sessions saying illegal aliens to take those jobs. What are the options on Capitol Hill, and is it clear just exactly how long and what time frame they'll have to do something after this morning's announcement?
Well, they will have 6 months to do it. According to some briefings that we've received this morning, this essentially amounts to the winding down of this program. Intakes into it will cease. And these individuals, by the way, who are living in the shadows and presented the federal government with their names, their addresses, their cell phone numbers. Now that information that they gave the federal government, which they had given them in the assumption that they were going to be safe, can now theoretically be used to round them up and deport them. So this is something that could happen within 6 months if Congress doesn't act. And I'll just tell you, Tom, the reason why DACA was implemented by the president in 2012 in the first place is because Congress has been deadlocked on comprehensive immigration reform.
For Dreamers who are listening right now, after the Sessions announcement this morning, do they still have the temporary legal status that the Obama executive order extended to them? Is it still in effect as we speak, Glenn?
For the next 6 months, yes. If Congress determines that they want to extend this, It could be extended, but I think this program is very much imperiled, and you have the Attorney General speaking pretty forcefully about this being the beginning of the end. And frankly, the President of the United States has empowered the Attorney General to do so, though I think it is worth noting, and it is significant in the way that Donald Trump does stuff, is the President of the United States is not shy about staying in front of a camera and announcing a policy. Pretty noteworthy that he chose to have his Attorney General announce his policy and not stand up there himself.
How do you interpret that? Of course, Jeff Sessions is famously tough on anything but fully legal immigration. Was it just that this was Sessions' issue, or perhaps the president didn't want to be associated with what many people are calling a cruel step?
I think all of the above. I also think that the president is very concerned. There has been, over the course of the past month or so, with the arrival of John Kelly as his chief of staff and the departure of people like Steve Bannon and Seb Gorka from the West Wing, there's been a perception that the moderates have won. John Kelly, the former Department of Homeland Security Secretary, is broadly supportive of the DREAM Act, of DACA, and also broadly supportive of legislation in Congress that would extend these benefits. So I think the president, who is at the moment very much a 30-40% president dealing with his base, is playing to economic populism, and he fears, and we see this in every single policy that I've been covering and my colleagues have been covering, we see him reverting to the safety of his base. And I think on this issue, he made a decision in his own political short-term interest that many people, including many in his own party, believe will boomerang and harm him.
Do we know what happens with Dreamers whose period of grace might expire during the next 6 months? Are they then immediately subject to deportation?
That is not clear from the briefing materials we've received this morning. We're going to be getting some more information over the course of the next couple of hours, and Jeff Sessions is going to be answering some questions with regard to that. So I don't think that's clear yet.
If Congress fails to bring into effect some kind of legislation that would have the same effect for these 800,000, what has the administration got in mind? Do they then they start using that database to go around and deport 800,000 young people back to countries many of them have zero memory of?
Well, that's really what – I mean, that's what a lot of the advocates fear. Organizations like Forward U.S., one of the principal advocacy organizations for the Dreamers, says that that will happen. We haven't heard any details on this from the administration. And, you know, Tom, I mean, it is a characteristic, this is not editorializing, it is a characteristic of this administration that they tend to do policy rather late in the game and outsource a lot of the details to the Hill. So, I can tell you from my reporting over the weekend, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, and Mitch McConnell were very unhappy that the president threw this at them. The sense that they have is that the president is once again saddling them with his political problems. And, you know, we are looking at what was being called a bloody September anyway. We have a bruising debt ceiling fight we have to deal with. We have funding bills. We have Hurricane Harvey bills, which is going to test fiscal conservatives. And then looming over it all, we have tax reform. And if that weren't enough, on the back burner, we still have the unresolved issue of health care. This is a legislative agenda that is teetering on the edge, and to kind of throw immigration, the most divisive issue, the issue that splinters the party right in half, into this mix. Even folks in the White House that I interviewed over the weekend think this is an unwise idea.
Glenn, he did promise this, though, on the campaign trail. This was among his promises. He said he'd get rid of DACA.
You know, Tom, this reminds me of no other issue more than President Obama's vow to shut Guantanamo Bay Detention Center. That was a central campaign promise that he made in 2007 and 2008. I was at dozens of rallies in which that was the biggest applause line. And guess what? It turned out to be a promise that he could neither dodge nor fulfill. And I think on DACA here, he is moving more decisively. And this obviously impacts a great many more people and a great many more good people. What's going to happen over the next couple of days is you're going to start seeing anecdotes about some of these kids, these individuals who for all intents and purposes, are indistinguishable from other hardworking Americans. A lot of anecdotes a lot of pressure already from Republicans on the Hill. I think that this is going to be an issue that that becomes one of those things that is going to make it very difficult for Republicans to come together on other issues.
The program known as DACA, Jeff Sessions saying this morning, that was effectuated under the Obama administration, is being rescinded. 800,000 or so. Do we know how many countries these young people come from? Is there any idea of timetable about pushing them out of the U.S. if that's what actually happens? Can you see squads of ICE agents on college campuses taking them away in cuffs?
I mean, that is what the advocates are worried about. I mean, again, we've gotten very, very little. In terms of the countries, I think they come from a broad array of countries, but principally we're talking about Mexico, Central and South America, and I think with a very heavy weight towards Mexico and Central America. And I think, you know, the fear is how will this be accomplished? We saw during Hurricane, very interestingly, by the way, during the recovery for Hurricane Harvey, one of the factors that my reporting sort of bore on this decision to delay it 6 months, which is from John Kelly, the chief of staff, who's been working on this for a while. One of the things that has put him in the camp of trying to soften and delay this is he heard reports on the ground in Texas of dreamers and immigrants, even undocumented immigrants, risking their lives and working themselves to exhaustion in order to rescue people and help aid in the recovery efforts. That moved General Kelly, we are told, quite significantly. So the question is, General Kelly is somebody who understands both the military and the mechanism of DHS and ICE, the Immigration Service. So my sense is, as long as Kelly is in the White House, and by the way, that's an open question. Some people don't think he's going to last very long. As long as General Kelly is in the White House, I think you will have a counterforce in terms of these sort of brutal deportations. But, you know, Tom, as with most things with the Trump administration, you know, we don't know very much about the policy and we don't know very much about the implementation of it.
An orderly wind down promised this morning by Attorney General Jeff Sessions of DACA. DACA being rescinded, the word from the Trump administration today. Now it goes to Congress to see if they will save it, change it, bring in some form of it. Glenn Thrush covers the White House for the New York Times. Glenn, thank you very much for being with us on this very significant morning on the immigration front. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Trump administration decision today on DACA and the fate of 800,000 young dreamers in America, the program, the Obama-era executive order, being rescinded. The U.S. Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, announced this morning. Here he was.
I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded.
Being rescinded, an orderly wind down, the Attorney General said this morning. You can join us this hour. What is your response to the Trump administration today on DACA? Is this right? Is it wrong? Is it fair? Is it cruel? Are you a dreamer? Tell us what you're thinking, feeling, planning now. And what should Congress do now? Will they really let these kids be kicked out? How would that even work? Joining me now from Washington, Kelsey Snell covers Congress for The Washington Post. Kelsey, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And from Washington, covering Congress for Politico, is Sungmin Kim. Sungmin Kim, thanks a lot for being here on this day.
Thanks for having me.
Kelsey Snell, first to you. What do you see in this announcement from Jeff Sessions? Is it what was expected? Is it clear what the time frame is for Congress to grapple with this? Is it clear what an orderly wind down of DACA means?
I think the timeline is probably clearer than what an orderly wind down means. Congress is prepared, or they are prepared now, to address this within the next 6 months. I think that, you know, that is a tight time frame, and Congress has a lot on its plate. All of September essentially is going to be eaten up by attempting to increase the spending limit, the debt limit, and trying to keep the government open past September 30th. Plus, they have a lot of other things they need to do, like reauthorizing some military spending, keeping the FAA going. The list is incredibly long for September. So essentially, it really doesn't leave them that much time. And, you know, Sungmin can speak to this as well, but I believe when we last saw the Durbin and Graham, Senators Durbin and Graham had a bill a few years ago, the DREAM Act, they believed that they had the votes for that. So it's possible if Senate leaders and House leaders decide to pick and choose from pieces of that legislation, that they could have the votes again.
Sungmin Kim, if you had to do a nose count today, and I have no idea if people have shown enough their cards here for you to do this, but if it was somehow, you know, instantly put to a vote on the House floor to sustain something like DACA, and for the Senate for that matter, what do you see? Is support there for it?
I think the belief right now, I mean, let's go back to the immigration debate in 2013 when 68 senators voted for a comprehensive immigration reform proposal that included essentially a robust version of the DREAM Act. Now, some of those senators aren't in Congress anymore, but I think the general belief is that if something that codifies DACA into law, that protects these dreamers, that says they won't be deported, that they can work here legally in the United States, that can get 60 votes in the Senate and that can get a majority in the House, but with significantly more Democratic votes, basically all Democrats and helped along by Republicans. I think the major question is whether there's a majority of House Republicans and Senate Republicans who support doing something for these DACA beneficiaries. But we've heard in the last few days when the DACA's future had become increasingly more precarious from what we've heard from these leaks mm-hmm. from the administration, you have some surprising voices from the Republican Party who are defending these dreamers. Noteworthy to me earlier this week, yesterday, was a statement from Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma, not quite a liberal bastion there in Oklahoma, saying Congress needs to act. And look, you know, as Americans, we don't hold these kids accountable for the actions of their parents. It sounds like he would be someone who may not have supported a comprehensive immigration plan, could support something like this.
Let's get to our callers. Lots of people paying big attention today to the announcement from Jeff Sessions that DACA is being rescinded. Michael's calling. Michael, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time. I see this as a blessing. It's an opportunity for Congress to do its job. And I don't know of a soul in the United States that would deny a four-year-old child brought to the United States equal citizenship to the others that were born here. This is an opportunity for Congress, who could tonight take the same DACA document that was in effect and vote on it and pass it tonight. This isn't something that's should take 6 months. Other immigration reform can be taken on a different topic. But with regards to the Dreamers, they could do it tonight. They could go in, vote tonight, and pass it tonight. They just have to have the courage to do it.
They could. I doubt they will. But here's the announcement today. I mean, Kelsey, unlike so many of the votes that we've seen, healthcare, for example, where you had the Democrats absolutely saying, we're not participating in voting for this. In this case, surely Democrats will vote for some kind of extension of DACA. So doesn't that make it a lot easier for Congress to come up with if the will is there, wouldn't the votes be there almost automatically?
Well, I think it depends on what it is that Democrats want to see in exchange for their vote. They see this as a point of leverage. Yes, they very much would like to make sure that these protections are codified into law, but they are not going to be willing to do that if it also includes, say, money for a border wall, as some people in Congress are already suggesting. Some Republicans that I've spoken to this morning are suggesting that they believe that the White House or potentially some in Republican leadership will ask for border wall money to be included in anything that codifies DACA. That would be unacceptable for Democrats, and it could cause a considerable disagreement.
The idea there that you might hold these dreamers hostage to funding for a border wall, if you don't want the kids kicked out, pay for the border wall, is that really on the table or seriously being discussed?
it's being discussed among Republicans. Democrats have already made it clear that they don't view these Dreamers as, quote, bargaining chips for policies such as the border wall with Mexico. There's been other kind of proposed trade-offs, including a measure maybe, you know, protect these DACA kids in exchange for legislation that would dramatically reduce legal immigration. That's been proposed by Senators Tom Cotton and David Perdue. That will also be a non-starter among Senate Democrats and, you know, frankly, among many Senate Republicans as well. But we'll get a clearer picture when senators and House members return to Capitol Hill later today. And they can ask, you know, what are they willing to do in order to, essentially make these DACA protections into law within these 6 months?
Jeff Sessions saying again this morning that this was unconstitutional, that this was the executive branch overreaching in its exercise of authority. Here he was in his announcement this morning saying DACA being rescinded.
The executive branch, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch.
This does not mean, Jeff Sessions saying today, that they are bad people or that our nation disrespects or demeans them. Of course, without an act of Congress now, they could be on their way out of the only country that any of them have any real memory of. Bruce in Essex, Massachusetts. Bruce, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Let me offer some points that fit together regarding this. You know, many are so endlessly eager to find fault in Trump that they are blinded to the obvious possibility, which is that he's pushing Congress to act in their favor.
In favor of the Dreamers.
There was endless posturing by the Republicans about repealing the Affordable Care Act, which collapsed when they actually had to do something. Now there's endless posturing about sending innocent children who have been raised as Americans to their deaths in South America.
Well, it's not endless posturing until there's an alternative here, but I take your point that it could be a push to get Congress to do, maybe you're saying the right thing here, but certainly to take this up on its own hook. Sunmin Kim, is there, despite this crowded agenda, is there any way that this could end up kicked to the curb and Congress not taking this up? It does have that heartstrings dynamic to it, and not just heartstrings, but the actual lives of an awful lot of people. Could this really not get attention somehow?
I think that, there will definitely be attention on this issue for the next 6 months as the clock ticks down to this essentially March 5th, 2018 deadline. But let's remember that Congress has really struggled to pass immigration reform under the Bush administration, under the Obama administration, and there will clearly be challenges under the Trump administration. The DREAM Act as a standalone could not pass in 2010. It got filibustered in the Senate. The Senate bill that we discussed earlier that passed in 2013 was never taken up by the House. It's a difficult issue, an emotional issue that deeply divides, particularly the Republican Party. Now, the one thing that it may have in its favor is that there is now a deadline. As Kelsey and I both well know, Congress operates essentially only on these deadlines, these cliffs. That's why we have a government funding fight ahead of us, the debt limit deadline facing us just a day before that. So maybe if there is this, you know, March 5th deadline that could finally compel Congress to act on at least some sort of a permanent status for a smaller population of undocumented immigrants. But that is a very big if right now.
DACA being rescinded, we're being told today. Let's go to Baltimore. Ricardo is calling. Hi, Ricardo. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I am an immigrant from Central America, and my feelings about the DACA controversy is, firstly, that no one is acknowledging that these people they're members of the military. They've been overseas to fight for America, for our freedom. They've been awarded medals of valor. They're fully invested people in America. They start businesses, they employ people, they pay their taxes.
Do you think they'll end up being kicked out of the country, Ricardo?
I really don't know, is my answer to that. I hope not, of course. But I really don't know if they will be.
I mean, there's
my view.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Pardon me. My view about this is that it is a political. It's really actually a political move. Not really one of. I mean, there's also sorts of rationales about it in terms of policy. But frankly, I think that this is part of a larger viewpoint and movement from the not only the administration but from the conservative element in general in the United States that boils down, in my view, to kind of a revenge about getting back at what we've, you know, what we've managed to achieve. So that's why it's rather popular in that sector. That's my personal view.
Ricardo, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. I mean, Sessions saying today it's not a little matter, but this should be about what's right for the American people. Here was the Attorney General making his announcement this morning that DACA would be rescinded.
This is not a little matter. Ending the previous administration's disrespect for the legislative process is an important first step. All immigration policies should serve the interests of the people of the United States, lawful immigrant and native-born alike. Congress should carefully and thoughtfully pursue the types of reforms that are right for the American people.
Serve the interests of the people of the United States, lawful immigrant and native-born alike. But, of course, there's another category here, and it's a large category. Dolores in Waterford, Pennsylvania. Dolores, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Tom, the vice president said this was going to be done with heart, and I don't see any heart in this at all. But here's my question. New York State had already announced that it was going to sue if the right decision was not made in support of the Dreamers. Okay, so what if Congress does not act, and this goes to the courts, and because I believe there are already nine conservative states, attorney general suing to reverse that decision anyway. So where does this go? If Congress does not act,
yep,
and it ties up the courts, how... You know, we all know that nothing goes quickly through the courts. So how is all this going to work in the end?
We'll look at exactly that face of this, and you're right. It could well end up there. Kelsey Snell with The Washington Post and Sunmin Kim with Political. Please stand by. Rose Quizon Villazor joins us now from New York, professor of law at the University of California Davis School of Law, visiting professor at Columbia Law School. Professor, thanks very much for being with us. What about the courts and the announcement from the Attorney General today? If Congress does not act, or if it's challenged by attorneys general around the country, what Jeff Sessions did today, might these Dreamers be protected by the courts even in the absence of action by Congress?
I do think that the Dreamers, DACA recipients, have strong protections right now. I made that argument today in the New York Times. First is that DACA recipients currently have the right to what's called deferred action, that they would not be subject to any kind of removal because they went through this process of applying for DACA in the first instance.
But Jeff Sessions saying that's being rescinded.
I disagree that DACA is unconstitutional. DACA is grounded on well-established constitutional, statutory, and administrative principles. It's about executive discretion, not executive amnesty, as Attorney General Sessions framed it as. Under the Take Care Clause of the U.S. Constitution, the president has the power to make determinations about which parts of immigration and other forms of administrative actions he can take. And in this case, with President Obama, he and his administration understood that there are certain priorities, and with limited resources, through the Take Care Clause, the President of the United States, then President Obama, issued this power of executive discretion.
But if the President had the power to give this coverage, this protection, through executive discretion, what's to say the next president doesn't have the power to rescind it?
The president, of course, does have the power to rescind it. That is the essence of presidential power.
Isn't that what we're looking at right here today?
And as Attorney General Sessions announced today, that's what the president has decided. However, We know that today that there are 800,000 people who currently receive DACA status, and there's a process of revoking their rights and benefits that they obtained. Of course, the essence of discretion means that the president can give and the president can take, but that taking away of executive discretion cannot be done in an arbitrary manner. Even the executive agency put together a process, an administrative process, when once a person's DACA status can be revoked.
Yeah, but that's different from a blanket revocation or a rescission of the entire program. I mean, Sungmin Kim, do you have a sense on Capitol Hill that Congress thinks if they don't act, the courts might put the brakes on the Attorney General's announcement today?
It's unclear right now because, you know, we don't even know if these conservative states are going to go ahead and sue, whether this six-month punt, if you will, is enough for them to hold off on their lawsuit thread. I don't think Congress is looking to the courts as a lifeline. I do think lawmakers, particularly those who care about this policy, do want to try to get something done. But whether it does, it's still the open question.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the Trump administration's announcement today. Jeff Sessions made it, the attorney general, that DACA will be rescinded. 800,000 or so dreamers, fate now up in the air. The Obama-era executive order, the Trump administration saying it's out, and Congress now has, 6 months to do something about it if they want to keep these young people on this protected path. We're looking at what Congress may do and the implications of the Trump administration decision today with Sungmin Kim, covers Congress for Politico, Kelsey Snell for The Washington Post. Rose Crisan Villazor is also with us, professor of law, University of California, Davis, joins us from New York today. You can join us. What do you think Congress should do now? Will they really let these kids be kicked out? How would that even work? And what about the investments we've made in these young people, the contributions they're making? What's the real point of the push to send these kids home? And is this really our best response to the immigration challenge? Here was Attorney General Jeff Sessions this morning saying the Department of Justice had advised the president and the Department of Homeland Security to initiate a wind down process for DACA. Here's Sessions.
The Department of Homeland Security should begin an orderly, lawful wind down, including the cancellation of the memo that authorized this program. Acting Secretary Duke has chosen appropriately to initiate a wind-down process. This will enable the Department of Homeland Security to conduct an orderly change and fulfill the desire of this administration to create a time period for Congress to act, should it so choose.
Orderly change and congressional action. We'll see. Response from Capitol Hill today. Senator John McCain of Arizona, Republican, of course, called this the wrong approach. He said President Trump's decision to eliminate DACA is the wrong approach. Quoting McCain here, the federal government has a responsibility to defend and secure our borders, but we must do so in a way that upholds all that is decent and exceptional about our nation. He said, I'll be working with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to devise and pass comprehensive immigration reform, which will include the DREAM Act. But, of course, that has always been a very tall order. David in Miami, Florida. David, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling in because I'd like to clear up some misconceptions that are all over the media. Even in your own opening this morning, you talked about ICE coming in and picking up these kids for deportation.
Well, if I were one of them, that's what I'd be worried about, David. What can you tell us?
Well, that's not how it happened. Just as if you get stopped speeding, you get a ticket. You go to court, you can fight it. These kids would all be eligible for bond. Even if I fix them up, they can bond out of custody. The next thing they do is they go to immigration court, and they can fight this for years, especially with the backlog that's already in there. Over 500,000 cases pending. I'm just on my way back from court right now. My next hearing in this case isn't until next June. After that, who knows, it could be another year or more down the road.
So you're an immigration lawyer yourself, David, and you don't see anything happening quickly here.
Does anything ever happen quickly in our bureaucracies or our courts? No. But that's not my point. My point is the media is scaring these people. And when people get scared, they act irrationally. And they go see people that don't know what they're doing, and they lose their money, and sometimes lose their opportunity. So I would just like to get it out there that even there, even with the revoking that, which I'm against, but you know these kids are not in immediate jeopardy of deportation. If they fight it, they got 2 or 3 years. I'm telling my clients, fight it. We'll probably have a new president before your case is over.
So there's a kind of reality check from the ground. And, David, I really appreciate your call from an immigration attorney in Miami. Rose Cruzon Villazor, what about Dreamers? Paying very close attention today and listening. Okay, there's a six-month window for Congress to do something, and everybody will be watching that very closely. But people are making life plans here, career plans. Is it worth to pay for another semester of college and all the rest? Our caller suggests that you can talk about 800,000 being sent home, but in fact, that would take years. Does that sound right to you?
I appreciate David's comments, and he's right. The bureaucracy that we have right now allows certain groups of non-citizens to stay here for quite some time because the immigration courts are crowded. They're flooded with all of these cases that have been filed in court. But that doesn't change the fact that the rescission of DACA is upending the lives of 800,000 some Americans without papers. And so maybe on the ground, it might take a while for the government to actually remove non-citizens from this country. But that doesn't change the fact that in 6 months, there's a possibility that these Americans will now be able to be forced to go back to the shadows and their presence is called into question in the workplace, perhaps at schools. And so it is really important for Congress to pass some form of measure, some measure to ensure that DACA recipients today are able to obtain lawful residency.
Kelsey Snow with the Washington Post, we read there from John McCain saying that he wants to include a DREAM Act in a comprehensive immigration reform. But that has always choked the python in Washington. I mean, if that's the idea, that this might be sustained, but only in the context of comprehensive immigration reform, with everything else going on, can you see that passing within 6 months?
I have a very hard time seeing how something as massive and far-reaching into every state and basically every community as comprehensive immigration reform, I have a hard time seeing how that gets passed within the context of the president's plans to get other major, major legislative goals done, like tax reform. Comprehensive immigration reform has, as Sungmin mentioned earlier, been a very difficult, very complicated task that has been attempted by several presidents before this one. And I think it's very important that we acknowledge as we look at this that part of what some Republicans fear the White House is doing by sending this to Congress is essentially allowing House Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to take the blame from Trump's very agitated and upset base if these dreamers are protected. So there is a concern among some Republicans that this is a setup. And so there will be a lot of fear and a lot of concern that, you know, whatever they choose to do here, it could have political ramifications. So in that regard, I don't think that comprehensive immigration reform is likely to be the eventual outcome if the goal is to get this done within 6 months.
But if it's a setup, Sunmin Kim, that suggests that the Trump White House believes that they won't want to take the step to find a legislative solution here, that they'll be afraid to extend the protection for these dreamers.
And that's one of the several unanswered questions that we have right now with this change in policy. One is, if Congress does send him a bill that codifies these protections into law, will the president sign it? We don't know. He did have a tweet this morning that says, you know, Congress get to work and DACA. That could mean maybe he would support legislation. I'm sure Sarah Sanders will be asked about that. We'll wait for that answer from the White House. But that, and you know, if he does want to sign Dreamer legislation, in what form does it take? These are all questions that we're looking for answers to right now.
We've got the ACLU saying today, on the heels of the Attorney General's announcement, the DACA being rescinded, ACLU says today is a cruel day for Dreamers, our families, and all Americans. You got Javier Palomares, he's a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce CEO, resigning today from the White House Diversity Council over the DACA decision. Now this goes to Congress. Of course, members of Congress have talked about this over time. Here was a Republican, Florida Senator Marco Rubio. This was in June, talking with CNN about what he believes should happen with DACA. Well, now we'll have a chance to see what Marco Rubio does. In fact, here he was in June.
I do believe it's unconstitutional, whether you agree with the merits of it or not. But I also believe that it should be replaced. It comes to an end because it's replaced by something that's constitutional, which is a legislative action. And I think the vast majority of Americans would say that if you were brought here as a young child, have grown up in this country, have a lot to contribute to our future, it doesn't make a lot of sense after years of investing in you and our public education system and the like to send you to a country that you perhaps have no memory of.
And indeed, there's been a lot of investment in kids who have grown up here, gone to school here, university and all the rest. Last week, we had Paul Ryan talking about this, talking with his hometown radio station. This is WCLO in Janesville, Wisconsin, saying this is the Speaker of the House, Republican, that he was opposed to ending DACA and that Congress should come up with a legislative solution instead.
I actually don't think he should do that. And I believe that this is something that Congress has to fix. President Obama did not have the legislative authority to do what he did. You can't, as an executive, write law out of thin air. And so that's very, very clear. We've made that very clear. Having said all of that, there are people who are in limbo. These are kids who know no other country, who were brought here by their parents and don't know another home. And so I really do believe that there needs to be a legislative solution. That's one that we're working on.
Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, Republican, now it's in his lap. Kelsey Snow, what about the politics of this? How significant is the opposition to extending these protections among the Republican base that the president speaks to so directly and maybe, as you say, maybe is now threatening fellow Republicans on the Hill with?
Well, that's a big question that we're hoping to have answered today when Congress comes back. They have been out of Washington. The House has been out longer than the Senate, but for the entire month of August, essentially, there has been no opportunity for reporters to kind of have a conversation with members about this. I think there are some signs that the base is agitated and that the base wants Congress to kind of start fulfilling some of President Trump's campaign promises. And I think that all of these things kind of swirl together in a mix because the base is upset about what happened with the Affordable Care Act. The president, as a campaigner, promised to repeal and replace it. That has failed. Tax reform is kind of on an early but bumpy path. And a lot of other legislative priorities seem to have just missed the mark. So if the base feels like the, you know, that Congress is again failing to fulfill the promises of the White House by taking up some sort of DACA legislation, that could really affect the way that they decide how to handle this and how expediently or how extensively they address the immigration issue. And frankly, it's hard for, I think, even Speaker Ryan or Leader McConnell to know that right now because they haven't sat down in a room with their members since this was announced or since it was really seriously contemplated. So we'll be seeing them taking the temperature and taking stock of where people are over about the next week or so.
So me and Kim with Politico, I mean, could this really work for the president so that he comes out at the end of this, let's say, and says, I ended DACA. I did it. I fulfilled my campaign promise. They, Republican Congress, save it, not my problem. Does that really work out for the president politically?
It depends on, I mean, there are a couple ways of looking at this. You know, you can oppose, you know, does his base oppose just the policy of letting these young undocumented immigrants stay in the country? Do they see that as amnesty? Or are they kind of okay with the policy, but just really are mad about the way that the President Obama did it? So I guess it depends on how his, you know, how his loyalists see that issue. The president has indicated several times this year in interviews that on the policy alone, he may be supportive of these dreamers. He says these dreamers are, you know, I love them. You know, we want to treat them with great heart. You know, they've worked here. They've contributed, which is very different from the rhetoric that he had on the campaign trail. So it depends. And this is why it's so important for us to learn whether the White House will actually sign legislation concerning these dreamers, whether he does actually support this underlying policy and just really oppose the way President Obama did it, which is the position of a lot of congressional Republicans.
Here was the president last Friday, a reporter calling out to him, should dreamers be worried?
Should dreamers be worried?
We love the dreamers. We love everybody. Thank you very much.
We love the Dreamers. That was Friday. Today, DACA rescinded. Mike in Providence, Rhode Island. Mike, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tom, for taking my call. I love this program because of what it stands for, what it does, and its different pathway to the American dream. But the Attorney General's legal analysis is spot on. You can't just choose to pick and what laws you want to follow and change as a president with that unbridled authority. I disagree with the law professor entirely on this, and especially with people who disagree with the president. Imagine the current president taking those laws and picking and choosing what he felt was compassionate and what he felt was a heartstring story.
So what do you hope Congress does, Mike? What do you hope Congress does?
I hope Congress does something about every illegal alien, not just the undocumented who happened to come here based on an arbitrary date set by our society, 18. There's 15 million people living in the shadows. We just, the DACA people are coming out because they're granted some form of amnesty. Something needs to be done. And this rhetoric of just deporting, this rhetoric of just they need to go or taking it back is untenable, unworkable. And frankly, the best point made on your entire program was the chilling effect this will make for all these people. They're not going to plan to buy houses. They're not going to plan to save money here. They're not going to invest in our society to good jobs, to get education, because the fact is, despite it may get tied up in court for years to come, but they don't know. And that effect is going to be the greatest entire announcement that 800,000 people will stop investing in our country, in their future in this country. They will just sit on the sidelines and wait for a definitive answer.
But let Congress work it out, you say, Mike, and I appreciate your call. The U.S. Catholic bishops today calling the decision to rescind DACA reprehensible. Wow, here we are. The moment is in our laps when it actually happens. Rose Quizon-Villazor, what's your word to dreamers right now listening? What's the best step for them?
For them, the same advice. I give the same advice that I have given to former clients and dreamers have come to me, is to talk to a lawyer, to an advocate, and explain to them their situation so that they can get advice about what they should do moving forward. Right now, although the president has rescinded the DACA program, we don't have enough details. We don't have any details at all about what would happen to the 800,000-some dreamers. And they currently have rights based on their DACA status that they obtained. They paid $495 for the status. They went through a background check. And so they have certain benefits right now based on their DACA status. And they should get some protection based on that.
Rose Quizon-Villazor, Professor of Law at the University of California, Davis School of Law. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Jeff Sessions saying DACA rescinded, an orderly wind down. We'll see what that looks like. Sunming Kim with Politico covering Congress. Thank you so much for joining us today. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And Kelsey Snell with The Washington Post on Capitol Hill. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you, Tom.
Good luck to all. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.